come sing if you wanna live long. They have no use for your song. You're dead, you're dead, you're dead. You're dead and out of this world.
And if you are dead and out of this world, then I feel sorry for you, because we are back with another exciting episode of Rick's Horror Review Show. That's Rick's Radio, our horror TV show review, where we review all things that are related to horror. Horror movies, horror TV shows, horror documentaries, horror primetime specials from the 1990s featuring Barbara Walters and I'm Hugh Down. We also reviewed the top 10 gimmicks in wrestling, horror shorts, absolutely everything and anything that has to do with horror, because around here, we love that shit. But there is one type of horror that I tend to gravitate towards more than others, and that's horror that has to deal with the Catholic Church. And how can you have Catholic Church horror without a case of demonic possession? Hell, maybe two cases of demonic possession. Double DP. I also love to know, as of late, and if you might have already guessed, I love to know what vampires, well, specifically, what they do in the shadows. That's right. And tonight we have a special episode you may have already guessed based on that special introduction. But if you are a new listener, welcome. If you are a returning listener, welcome back. We love to have you here. Thanks so much for being here. We always appreciate you stopping by. But before my producers start barking in my ears, I'd like to first and foremost tell you about our socials. You can find us at Rick's Horror on the Instagram, on the TikTok, on the YouTubes, and yes, we also have a Facebook for the olds. But before I go on, I'd like to first and foremost introduce the co-host of Rick's Horror TV Show Review, Billy the AI.
Am I on camera? I don't think I'm on camera. What's going on? Oh, there I am. And I'm back after some technical difficulties. You know, something like this would have never happened on Billy's Ready B. Billy's Horror TV Show Review. Billy's Ready B Horror TV Show Review, because we don't have technical difficulties on that show.
You know what, Billy? You're absolutely right. You don't have technical difficulties on that show because you don't have a show.
Hey! Oh, that's not nice. That's not nice. That's Bray of Maine. And now back to you. And this has been another...
No, I'm going to cut you off right there. This is not Billy's Rated B, whatever you call your damn show.
Yeah, man, Billy's Rated B Horror TV Show Review.
Yeah, whatever. That's not it. Anyway... Before we start rambling on, because we've had some gigantic episodes as of late, so let us not waste too much time. And if you are a new listener, there's a very special type of format that we like to adhere to around here. Mostly adhere to. If you are a returning listener, you're already familiar with this format. First and foremost, I am going to talk about why this TV show, why did I decide to review? And by the way, spoilerful tonight. Everything will be spoilerful. Season one of What We Do in the Shadows. Absolutely right, because I love this show. I think it's phenomenal, and well, you know what? Let's just jump right into it. Why this TV show? Then we'll turn it over to Billy for four fun TV facts with Billy the AI. Then I'll tell you what kind of horror this is, what kind of horror TV this is. Then I'll also tell you whether or not What We Do in the Shadows Season 1 is...
Hey, Mr.
Oh! I thought I locked the goddamn door! What do you want?
I just kind of wanted to know if the show is good!
Get out of here, lousy child! How the hell do you keep getting inside my studio? Damn you, children!
Damn you all to hell. Then I'll tell you whether or not the jump scare is ever overused in What We Do in the Shadows Season 1. And of course, I'll also talk about the things I like, but not things in general that I like. I like all kinds of shit, like the Crypt Keeper back there, courtesy of Spook Clay. Look at that thing. Beautiful. I also like my fair share of electrical engineering, as you can see back there, too. But no, I'm not going to talk about those kind of things. And of course, the DeLorean right here. Talk about Back to the Future. Back to the Future, Marty. No, things I liked about this show. Then I'll tell you about all the things I didn't like about this show. And, you know, that is not going to be spoiler. That is not going to be a long list. It's just not. Then I'll talk about whether or not, courtesy of our listener in Brazil, obrigado, whether or not I fell asleep watching this show. How could you? Then I'll tell you whether or not I found the show entertaining and whether or not I endorse it. Because you can find things that you like and you don't like. Maybe even fall asleep, but you might still find something entertaining. That's just the way the human brain works. It's fascinating. Then I'll tell you whether or not I endorse Season 1 of What We Do in the Shadows. And if you're a returning listener and you already tell, you can already tell by the special introduction how this show's gonna go, don't you? Yeah, you can. Then we'll give this show a rating. I'll give you a ton of context. We won't get into anything illogical. We won't do any plot review. Why? Simply because that's not much. There's not much I can do to make this thing. By the way, if you don't know this, we try to make shit funny around here. We try to take some horror and we try to make it like funny. You know, we try to take something that's like maybe not so funny and turn it into something funny. How could you do anything with What We Do in the Shadows? How dare I even make an attempt at changing anything from that show? So yes, I will skip the plot review commentary and skip accurate dramatization. Instead, I'll give you a rundown of what I thought were the best moments of Season 1. So as we like to say around here, without further much ado about nothing, let's get into this. So why What We Do in the Shadows Season 1? Well, if you've listened to our show in the past, or maybe you haven't listened to our show before, or watched us, because we are also on the YouTube. You can find us on the YouTubes by going to Rick's Horror at the YouTubes. Now, but if you've listened to this show in the past, you know that my favorite horror comedy of all time, hands down, mama, there goes that man again, is What We Do in the Shadows. In terms of horror comedy, I don't think there's anything better. Now, I also love Tucker and Dale vs. Evil. I do love myself Tucker and Dale vs. Evil. I absolutely love that movie. But What We Do in the Shadows, the movie to me, just changed horror comedy for me before. Because, funny I should bring this up, I don't necessarily like gravitate towards horror comedy. It's not like if you're a fan of this show, you know that it's not like this thing that I'm like, oh, I love my section horror comedy. Yeah, I have reviewed horror comedy movies in the past, but I don't even think I even mentioned it in the introduction. I love Catholic church shit. I happen to look at it from four eyes that just make things funny to me. But it's not, they're not written in a funny way. I just find horror funny. Anyway, that's why we're reviewing What We Do in the Shadows Season 1, because I love the movie. Now, you may be wondering, well, if you done reggae live that movie so much, why you done wait so long to review the television show? I do declare that television show has been around since the year 2019, if I'm not mistaken.
Valid point, Mr. Debutante. Yes, I have the problem with this. Well, it's not a problem, but the reason why I did not want to watch the show was because I just felt like the movie was perfect. And to me, it's like, if you're a fan of this show, you know I hate sequels. Except Back to the Future 2. I don't like things when like people go back to the cookie jar, the old cookie jar. Man, what will this cookie get? I'll have more. You keep going to the same cookie jar. More cookies. More cookies. This chocolate chipped cookie is so delicious. I hate when they just retell stories like part two. Saw, my goodness, part 30 billion. Freddy Krueger's Nightmare number 21. Halloween 37. A Nightmare on 17th Street, the remake, part two, directed by Rob Zombie of the remake. I just can't do it. Like, give me something new and give me something original. This is the reason why, if you look at our library of reviews, we have yet to review a single movie. Well, that's not true. We did The Nun 2. But we have not reviewed The Nun 1. See, like, The Nun is a franchise, actually. We also did... What did we do? The one with the... When they go into Insidious. Also a sequel. Point here is like, I haven't done all of the Insidious movies. There are franchises that I think are interesting enough. Oh my God, I'm just contradicting myself. I'm just going to go on. I just didn't want to ruin the experience that I had, this beautiful memory that I had of what we do in the shadows with something that was going to be subpar. But, and if you're a fan of this show, you also know that I rarely research things in the sense that, like, before I watch something, after, yes, but before I watch something, I don't look at anything. I like a title, like The Dark and the Wicked. The Dark and the Wicked, the movie about religion and possession. This movie is not yet rated. Not suitable for people who are easy to offend and lousy children. But no, I don't like reading a plot. I don't like looking at previews. I just feel like it just ruins the experience for me. Like, there's just so much information about films and TV shows available that doing that just ruins the experience for me. So I go in there knowing as little as I possibly can. And it's bitten us in the ass a lot. We've seen some horrid shit. But that's okay. Okay? It's a Wonderful Life. I'm looking at you. Anyway, that's why I have not watched it. And that's why I have finally decided to watch it. And let me tell you, I am very glad that I finally did. Oh my goodness, that's kind of the longest explanation for why this TV show you've ever given on this show. You know, I felt like the four people that are watching out there, one, we have one new listener. Thank you, one new listener. You know who you are. I think I owed it to them and, you know, why not? All right, well, you know, I'm not judging, you know, well, this one's going to be short anyway, probably, because you're not going to do the never script accurate dramatization of scenes, because that's never script accurate. One thing you must know about Billy, if you are a first time listener, is that he never watches the right versions of any movies. But there's not more than one version. You just make shit up as you go along. Like your brain's just like saying some funny shit, and then you're just all of a sudden you're just making things up, like and then I can't even do it because that's this weird thing that your brain just does. Now, you know, it's a talent, what can I say? I see things from these four eyes. oh my goodness. Yeah, anyway, now it's time for Dodger baseball. Oh, that's for you in LA. LA, it's time for four fun TV show facts with your host, Billy the AI.
I really like that introduction. Thank you very much. Anyway, thank you for joining us on another exciting segment
Billy's Four Fun TV Facts with Billy Day AI. I'm your host, Billy Day AI. Welcome to the show. Okay, so I'm going to talk about the first film fact. And the first one is about cameo appearances. Now, this show, what we do on the shadow, is notable for its cameo appearances by famous actors, many of whom play vampires or other supernatural beings. These cameos often serve as a delightful nod to fans of the vampire genre. For example, on the episode The Trial, features appearances by actors who have actually famously played vampires in other media. Now, if that's not a fun fact, I don't know what is. And now, fun film fact number two. I not think you're gonna like this one, Rick. Okay. Much of the dialogue in What We Do in the Shadows is improvised. Take one of these. I do love myself some improvisation. I do declare. Yeah, and you know, What We Do in the Shadows is improvised, and the cast is really given the freedom to explore the characters and interactions, really, I think, some really genuinely humorous and spontaneous moments that really contributed to the show's charm. I don't think I'm going to disagree with anything that you say about this show. Yeah, okay. And from film fact number three, one of the series' most beloved characters is Colin Robinson, who is an energy vampire. And the concept of this new addition to the vampire lore, exploring a type of vampire that feeds on people's energy by boring them or irritating them rather than drinking their blood. This character concept was widely praised for its originality and reliability. Do you like Colin Robinson? Maybe I think Colin Robinson is going to go down as one of the greatest television characters of all time. Yeah, I'm going to agree with that one. Okay, and now for the final film fact, for the final TV show fact. What We Do in the Shadows is filled with references to vampires' lores and popular culture from Nosferatu to modern vampires. And, you know, the show really plays on these tropes in really humorous ways, often subverting expectations to really, really, really create fun comedy. And this has been Four Fun TV Show Facts with Billy Day AI. And now back to you, Rick.
Well executed, Billy. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of hard to do this TV show wrong. It's honestly, I already know. And I'm going to get Billy's. Billy's ready to be the TV show reveal. It's going to get the show.
Hey, what the hell? Not time for rating yet. Hold your horses, young man.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, I was recently born on September 30th. I'm still learning a lot about human interaction.
Yes, we're quite familiar with, you know, how relatively young you are. Shall we go on?
Yeah, let's continue. I'm going to put the music on for you.
Oh, thank you.
All right, so what kind of horror show is this? Well, if you've never seen, I'm sure you've seen this. You've seen this show, please. It's a horror comedy. Comedy horror. Did I say...
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say something. If I may just be serious for a moment. It's comedy horror. And I'm going to ruffle some feathers. But I think the show is actually far funnier than the movie.
What We Do in the Shadows, the TV show, is 10 times as funny
as What We Do in the Shadows, the movie.
And I love the movie, so you can imagine how much I love the show.
I absolutely love the show.
Is What We Do in the Shadows Season 1 scary? There are certain, and by the way, before I say this, this is a spoiler full. You've had 5 years to look at this, okay? This didn't come out yesterday. There are certain things, and for example, the Baron's makeup. Scary. Baron Afnas, one of the characters.
phenomenally. It's scary. It is crazy how well done that is. And by the way, when they're all waiting for the Baron to come out, I love how Laszlo and Nadja are just like, I think Sixtus is waiting for the Baron. They're all bowing to him and they're just holding it. Hilarious. If you're just listening instead of watching, what I'm doing is I'm doing this really weird bow that they do. They extend their hand and they bow their head, and it's just funny. It's just funny the way everybody in the show is just hilarious. Nayak said hey with my Laszlo impersonation. But anyway, a 2 out of 10. Man, I'm wordy tonight, huh? A 2 out of 10 on the scary scale, as I just said. There are things that tend to be a little bit scarier than others. The Baron's makeup for one. Certain scenes can be scary, and they almost catch you off guard and just give you a reminder that this is not just a comedy show, but rather a horror comedy show. Sometimes it gets gruesome, and it's really good. It's so well done. Anyway, is the jump scare in season one of What We Do in the Shadows overused? It's not. It is used correctly. It is used sparingly, but it is used appropriately. They do not rely on it, and it isn't like used every episode or 2 or 3 times every episode, but it does happen. It is used as a tool the way that it should be used. Okay, and now on to the things I liked about What We Do in the Shadows season one, as usual, sponsored by no one. I love the unique concept of the mockumentary. We just did Ghostwatch. If you have not listened to our episode on Ghostwatch, let me tell you, it is going to go down as the best episode that this show has ever produced until this one comes out. The unique concept, and the reason I brought up Ghostwatch is because Ghostwatch, I think, this Ghostwatch is from 1992. They almost... And I know that there's other mockumentaries, okay? Chillax. But in terms of horror mockumentaries, I think that what Ghostwatch did really, really, really set the standard for other mockumentaries, including this one. Although this mockumentary follows more the style of The Office, which I think is probably the quintessential mockumentary. And I love the style it offers and a fresh take on a vampire genre. Before What We Do in the Shadows, I could never call myself a fan of anything related to vampires. I'm sorry. I love Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. I think it's the quintessential horror film, horror book. Nothing will ever top Mary Shelley's Frankenstein or the modern Prometheus. It is the cream of le creme de la creme. The queen rises to the top, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, a special guest appearance from the Macho Man, Randy Savage. Macho Man, what do you think of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein or the modern Prometheus?
Yeah, Mary Shelley really, really put two and two together in the 1800s when she released that book, Yeah, she was only a teenager when she wrote that. Yeah, dig it.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you so much, Macho Man. Really appreciate you being here.
Snapple Tool Syndrome!
Anyway, this is just mixing horror elements with mundane day-to-day life challenges in a way that is just both innovative and, of course, brilliant and hilarious. I cannot overstate how funny this show is. I also like the character depth. Despite the characters being vampires and, the one energy vampire, they're relatable. It's almost human-like, right? Of course they're characters, but they're written well. And, their struggles with modern life, relationships, and their own identities really add layers to the comedy itself. You cannot overstate the brilliant writing that this show really, really has. It benefits from. The writing strikes this perfect balance between sharp wit, clever humor and plot development and keeps viewers engaged and completely entertained. And, you know, I am one of those viewers. And I know that Billy earlier said that a lot of this stuff is improvised. I know, but the stuff that isn't is just brilliantly written. You know, it is amazing. Oh, speaking of improvisational comedy, that's one of the elements that I think is just so well done. And you have to have this skill set, right? Like, the cast improvisational skills lead to spontaneous and genuinely funny moments that feel natural and add to the show's charm. And I think eventual rewatchability. I have not rewatched anything yet because I've been binging every season so far. But man, let me tell you, so good. Another thing I really enjoyed about this show was the cameo appearances. Of course, the clever use of cameo appearances by well-known actors in any show is always fun, right? But it's just so unique in the way that they do this here, often as vampires or, you know, as Billy said, other supernatural beings. It's just delightful to watch. And, you know, as a fan, it delights me to see whenever there's a cameo by anybody. Anyway, I also really like the world building. They're in New York City. Well, they're on, you know, Staten Island, but the show expands the vampire lore in creative ways from the original film. The original film was in New Zealand, and that allows them to introduce new types of supernatural beings and explore the societal structures, customs, and hierarchies of these new characters. The show is also packed with cultural references to classic and contemporary vampire media, and I think offering something for hardcore fans of the vampire genre, one of which I am really not, but I really enjoy it. You know, but again, really always remaining accessible to newcomers to the vampire genre, such as myself. Yeah, I didn't even watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I'm sorry! This is not my thing! The visual style of the show is another thing I really enjoyed. The cinematography and visual effects strike a balance between, I think, comical and perfect, or rather comical and eerie. As I mentioned, Baird Afanas' mask earlier, it's just beautiful. The use of practical effects for supernatural elements adds, I think, a charming authenticity to the entire thing, you know, really giving it this touch of keeping things in front of the camera, which is also important. You know, I get visual effects, like, for example, when they turn into bats, that's definitely CGI, right? But there's just certain things I just mentioned. I keep raving about Baron Afanas' mask, but it's so beautiful, this mask or this makeup. I don't know if it's a mask or makeup, but it's so scary and so well done. And it looks very lifelike. But I really, really enjoy that. Another thing I really, really enjoy is everybody's costumes. The way they dress everybody. Beautiful, from Guillermo's sweater, Gizmo, we need some virgins, Gizmo. From Gizmo's, you know, cardigan, the really Nandor's glorious outfits that he wears, you know, his warrior-inspired outfits, to Laszlo's, you know, 18th century attire, Laszlo's and Nadja's 18th century attire. I love the way they dress these characters. And of course, but last but not least, the way they dress Colin Robinson. You know, they dress him in a way probably to make fun of a man wearing a suit or something. But as somebody, if I may get serious for a moment, as a man who loves suits, and if you're a man, if you don't know any suit, no. As a man who loves suits, dress the way they want. You dress the way the fuck you want. As a man who loves suits, I really like the way they dress Colin Robinson. I love his suits. Especially the suit they get. Well, actually, we're not talking about that season. But I just love the way they dress him. I think he, you know, he's meant to look like some boring corporate person. But I absolutely, I love it. I love the way that he gets dressed. And last but not least, I also enjoy, I think, the emotional moments that the show really provides you with, you know, because amidst the comedy, much like the movie, you know, when Peter, if you haven't seen the movie, I'm going to spoil it now. When Peter dies in an accident, that was really tragic and heartfelt. You know, it was painful to watch one of their friends die. It's so rare. I remember when I did that review, I said to myself, you know, it's really rare to have a film that does one thing really well. But What We Do in the Shadows did comedy really well. It did drama even better. I feel like this show does that just as well. Hell, even better. I already said that the show is better than the movie, but you know, amidst the comedy, the show, I think, occasionally explores deeper and more emotional themes such as loneliness, friendship, and the search for purpose, you know, things that all human beings have experienced and can relate to, you know, and I think these moments really provide a nice counterbalance to the humor and really deepen the viewer's investment in the character's journey, because they do. And I know I was just talking about season one. That's what I really like about that's what I like about you. I like the journey that these characters are going through, even from one episode to the next, right, from the beginning of the season to the end of the season. There's a journey, and I love that. There's character development. They're not the same characters for all 7 seasons of the show, for all 6 seasons of the show. Now, if you don't know this about me, I am a huge fan of Star Trek. In Star Trek Voyager, if I may, anyone really grants my gears, they never made Harry, they never gave him a promotion. The guy was an ensign for 7 years. Now, if you don't know what an ensign is, he's like the lowest of the low, and they never gave this guy a promotion. Anyway. The things I didn't like, sponsored as usual by no one. You know what I don't like about this show? I don't like that it's going to end after 6 seasons. I love this show. I wish there was more. And I just found out about the show. The things, like, it took me so long to finally get into the show, and now it's ending after season 6. I do not know why. I do not know why. Gizmo. No, there's nothing I don't like about season number 1. We're going to break this up into seasons. Season 1 is as perfect as it can possibly get. Did I fall asleep watching What We Do in the Shadows? No! I told you earlier, I binged this season. I wanted more Gizmo, more virgins, Gizmo. How could you fall asleep watching this show? It is impossible. I was laughing the entire time. It's just me thinking about myself watching the show makes me want to laugh. It's so good. From the very first episode, from second number one of the first episode of the first season to the last second of the last episode of season number 1, it is brilliant all the way through. Is this show entertaining? How many times do I have to tell you that I binged this show? Yes, maybe I have redundant segments here. Absolutely, this show is entertaining without a shadow of a doubt. One of the most entertaining TV shows I've ever seen. And I love The Office. And fans of The Office are going to kill me for saying this, but I'm going to dare reckon say that The Office has some pretty seasons there at the end. I'm sorry. This! Robert California, I'm looking at you, buddy. That's right. I watch The Office, too. I dare say this show is funnier than The Office. Do I endorse I just dropped my phone. He's all right. Do I, Rick from Rick's Horror Movie Review Show, Rick's Horror TV Show Review, endorse What We Do in the Shadows? Which camera? This camera? Hi, this is Rick from Rick's Horror TV Show Review, rated R TV Show Review, and I definitely endorse What We Do in the Shadows, season number 1. Another moment we've all been waiting for, Marty. This is the big one. This is the one I've been waiting for all my life. I cannot rave anymore about this show and how great it is. It is time to give this show a rating. And for me, for my money, season number 1 of What We Do in the Shadows gets a perfect 10 out of 10. You could not have written this any better. You could not have had better chemistry, better costumes, better moments of sadness. You couldn't do anything better. Try. I dare you. Make a seventh season. Damn you, FX. Damn you. And damn you, children. A 10 out of 10 for what we do in the shadows. Billy, what do you give what we do in the shadows?
Well, thanks for asking. And I'm gonna get this is a welcome back to Billy's Red Bay Horror TV Show review. And Billy's ready. We're gonna get what we do in the shadows. 10 out of 10 because it's just Reddit Bay. Maybe I should call it Reddit A because I mean, if I call it Reddit B, does that mean it's not as good?
Not necessarily. Rated B, rated B.
Okay. Now we're going to give this a 10 out of 10 on Billy's Reddit B Horror TV Show review.
Agree. Now I want to talk about some of the best moments of season number one. Just snippets, snip, snip, snip. The season kicks off, and by the way, this is all now. If it wasn't spoiler full already before, if you weren't warned before, be warned now. This is all spoiler full stuff. The best of season one of What We Do in the Shadows by Rick's Horror Review Show. Rick's made our horror review show. The season kicks off with a documentary crew filming the lives of Nandor, Laszlo, Nadja, and Colin Robinson, offering a unique window into the mundane and absurd aspects of vampire life in modern society. And I will say this. When I first saw Nandor and when I didn't see the characters from the movie, I felt betrayed in like the first, when they were having a meeting like they did in what we do in the shadows in the movie, I was like, oh, it's a ripoff. And then 10 seconds later, this chemistry between everybody, and then they introduced something new, which was Nadja, which there wasn't a main cast female vampire in the movie. And then they introduced Guillermo, a Mexican-American. Oh, wrong button. Like myself, yay! I love that. And from that second on, I was hooked. Not because of, you know, them in particular, but because everything worked so well. When I introduced, you know, Colin Robinson, again, they made it like the movie, but different enough to be its own thing. I was hooked. Another thing I really enjoyed about this movie, or rather this TV show in season number one, was the Vampire Council. It's a nod, as I mentioned already, to the vampire genre, and the show brought together an array of famous vampires from different media. That's right. There are characters or actors that have played vampires in other TV shows or media. Just to give you an example, Wesley Snipes, Blade, is here. Isn't that awesome? You need to watch this, but this episode is, and I'm not going to tell you which one it is, but you know, this episode is a fan favorite for, you know, you can imagine obvious reasons, and it's a vampire favorite of mine as well. Yeah, absolutely. As I mentioned, the introduction of Colin Robinson, the energy vampire, and Evie, the energy vampire at one point as well, provides, I think for me personally, a hilarious contrast to his supernatural housemates because of the way that he is. He is just this boring corporate person, like corporate vampire, right? He's just so lame, and it is brilliant. Brilliant. He bores people with mundane facts. Hell, he feeds on his own, you know, flatmates, as in the movie. He feeds on his own housemates for vampire's sakes. And, you know, he likes to talk about office politics. It's just too much. This guy is just brilliant. I absolutely love Colin Robinson. Another one of the things that was a highlight from season one that was a carryover from the movies was the werewolf feud. Not werewolves. Werewolves. the age-old rivalry between vampires and werewolves, one of which I really wasn't familiar with. I had no idea. It's explored in season number one with, you know, I would say humorous light showcasing the petty disputes and, you know, somewhat anticlimactic resolution to the conflicts anyway. But yeah, very interesting. Another one of the things, and again, remember, spoiler full, the search for the Baron's killer. There is an accidental death in the show of the Baron, a powerful, powerful vampire, more powerful than any of the housemates. As I mentioned earlier, they bow at him like this. If you're just listening, I'm doing that hand thing again where I'm bowing and extending my hand. So after his accidental death, he himself isn't a powerful older vampire, but when he dies, an even more powerful vampire from the old world, I'm confusing things, but anyway, he dies and, you know, the housemates try to cover up the death. And, you know, the cover-up is just freaking hilarious. Anyway, what else? Yes. Nadja's ghost lover from the past, Gregor, who she believes is the reincarnation of Gregor, her former lover from like a million times. And she tries to help him achieve peace. And I really found that I love the way she just interacts with Gregor, or rather Jesk. His name is Jeff, but she keeps calling him Jeff. Jesk. They just, the stupid mundane things that just make me laugh. But anyway, their interactions provide, I think, both comedy and, you know, sort of a touching subplot, in my opinion. What else do I like? Oh, Laszlo's obsession with his secret garden in season one and the labyrinth that he builds to protect it. I think it sort of becomes a running gag throughout the season and highlights, you know, the eccentricity of Laszlo from New York City. What else is there? Oh, right. The planning of the vampire orgy at the house. This leads to some tension and some misunderstanding and humorous situations, especially when the event sort of doesn't really live up to what they all wanted. And it kind of sucks at the end. The trial, when the vampires are summoned to a trial by the Vampire Council, which is, again, when we start to see vampires from other media. There are some subtle references to some vampires. I won't spoil this one, but there are references, like really huge references to other vampires from movies that unfortunately were not able to make the Vampire Council, but they make it in such a funny way that I loved it. It's also funny. What else? Oh, yes. Potentially the thing that I enjoy everything. I love everything. I do. I really do. But I really enjoy this more than other things. How they gave Guillermo's very particular heritage. He has a rather surprising lineage. And I don't want to spoil this. I want you to see this. Go see this. He has this very particular lineage that I think really sets up this intriguing inner conflict between him and himself. Inner conflict, but also conflict with, you know, between himself and his loyalty to not just his master Nandor, but really all vampires in general. And I will leave the heritage part at the non-spoiled stuff for you to go see and check out, because it's totally worth it. And I think that's it. I think we've spoken more than I wanted to speak about. Well, actually, I'll keep going. I'm going to give this one a quick rating again. And then we're going to call it a night. But yes! Season number one of What We Do in the Shadows is absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, perfect. A 10 out of 10 for What We Do in the Shadows. If you are still here listening to me, ramble on. After another 45 minutes, and I appreciate you being here. If this was your first time, I hope you enjoyed the show. Please comment. I never say this, but comment, subscribe, share this if you enjoy it. Share with all the world what we do around here. We appreciate you being here. Thank you so much for joining us on yet another exciting episode of Rick's Horror TV Show Review. Rick's Rated R Horror TV Show Review, where we review absolutely everything and anything that is related to horror. And we'll catch you again next time on another exciting episode.